Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I could give you who my biggest culprit is of this 10-game bad stretch. I'm not going to go nuts, but I can't promise the same if they lose the next couple of these games here. I needed them to take 3 out of 4 from Atlanta. They still can do that, even with losing that one last night. But for me, the biggest culprit is Pete Alonso. It's not to say that Pete Alonso stinks or he's not any good, but think about where Alonso was to start this year, carrying this ball club, playing at an MVP level, got many people buying into him being an MVP. He's come back down to earth a little bit, and he's crashed over the course of these last 10 days. 10 games for Alonso, where the Mets are 1-9, 16 strikeouts, brutal looking at bats, 2 extra base hits, 1 RBI. That's not going to get it done for the Mets cleanup hitter.
I know it's a different level of expectation, but I would love to know what the catcher's doing in that that spurt there, what's happening over at third base, what Taylor's doing in center field from an OPS and an offensive production perspective, not defense. I get it. I mean, and by the way, you didn't go nuts, and there's no reason to go nuts. I mean, they jumped out to a nice lead, and they played crisp baseball for, you know, 2+ months out of the shoot. Now, I would submit, as I have and will continue to do so, I think that this is more real than not. Not that they're going to lose 17 of 20 and fall off the face of the earth and finish in third place or fourth place, you know, ahead of only the Marlins. But the Mets do have real issues right now, and it's okay to flush through it. Now, in June, to be ahead of it and to be proactive rather than reactive, which is what I'm imploring Stearns to do, be proactive. Hey, they know baseball. They know the numbers. They know the league. And they got a taste of playoff baseball last year. They have to know, as a group, they have to know, because they're not dumb, that what they're rolling out every night is nowhere near good enough. And not only do I think that they know that they have to eventually make a big trade, I think, can't prove it, I think that they're already putting the wheels in motion to do it sooner rather than later. I really think that they're going to make something happen.
One thing that I think they need to do is raise the floor. Stearns has been excellent at that. That shouldn't be hard to do. I don't think they need a big trade, whether it be now or in the future. I still believe in this team enough to say that the big trade, I mean, outside of the, you want to add a top starter like Paul Skenes becomes available. That's a rarity, though. I don't believe that's going to be the case. But I don't think the Mets need a big trade. They've got the big bats. They need the big bats to produce. I want to raise the floor at the bottom of that order. And the way that they've been hit hard by injury and underperforming younger players, I don't know how much longer they could sustain it. I don't think this is a spot where you just say, all right, wait till trade deadline week, or right now, they're taking on water, losers of 9 of 10, sinking in the division fast, Braves starting to catch them. Who knows what's going to happen over the next 3 days? Mm-hmm. They need to get some professional hitters at the bottom of the order to lengthen things out. Like, that, to me, would be the necessary move ASAP, as soon as Stearns could get on that.
You know, think about when you're in the middle of, and I always take golf because I think it's the most relatable, you're having a rough day. Everything's sideways, worm burns. When you actually flush one, you have the wrong club. It's brutal. Like, I don't know about you, and I don't mean for like 3, 4, 5 handicap. I mean the hacks, like basically most of us that try to play golf somewhat regularly, right? When you are having a rough day and you grab your 5-iron and somehow you're in the middle of the fairway for once, you don't know how you got there, and you haven't hit a crisp iron all day. When you're playing like ass, I'm telling you, you don't start to play better by faking it, like, oh man, I'm feeling good. The way you play well is by feeling good. And then that generally translates to your hands and again eventually gets to the middle of the club face. What I'm saying is, I'd like to see the Mets start to show a little more energy here. I don't like the way they look. We can bury statistics, and we can reference them. The Mets right now don't have a lot of bounce in their step, so they got to start faking it, because I'm starting to see a Braves team that's coming alive. You got Acuna doing the bird dance around the bases, the other stupid gyration. If it was me, I would have put one right in his numbers or right in his ass. Like, I really would have hit him with a fastball, but I know nobody does that anymore, so I get that. But I need to see some more outward emotion and energy and just some some juice from the Mets. Last year's Mets team, they had juice. Now, they got Soto this year, and he's terrific, but I feel like this Mets team has less juice. Even when they were playing really well, I need more juice from the Mets.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Mike is calling from Butler. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Love the show. I agree with a lot of the things you're saying. I'm a frustrated but realistic Mets fan. I agree with BT. I think Acuna should have been drilled. Hmm. It probably would have been the best thing Blackburn did last night if he did it. And I think they should go out and get a bat, like BT says, maybe a Luis Robert, and put him in the mix with maybe Nimmo,
Robert
Soto,
stinks,
Taylor,
though. That's not
Marte.
A big bat.
He's historically, he's been good. And put him in the mix with Nimmo, Robert, Soto, Taylor, Marte, and Winker, and get rid of these other guys that they've been DH'ing, like Young. You know, he hasn't shown me anything. And pitching-wise, I mean, I agree with Sal. You know, they keep going to the lightning in a bottle in these reclamation projects. Blackburn and Canning, they've been historically bums for years. Yes, Canning's pitched good this year, but they go to the A's for Blackburn, Minaya, Montas, and Bassett. Bassett, they should have kept, in my opinion. Minaya has been good.
Wow. I mean, Mike, you're going way back, and thank you for the call, Mike. A little bit all over the place right there. You're saying you agree with BT and you want a big move, and then you say Luis Robert. Like, Luis Robert is not answering any questions.
No, that's not the move I'm talking about. Yeah. No, that's not the big move. Now, I'm not saying that they won't get him. That's not what I mean.
He doesn't even raise the floor for me. Like, that's not what I want right now. Would you take him over Tyrone Taylor every day? Yeah, I guess the potential. No, I want more solid baseball players at the bottom of the order that when they come up, you're not like, oh, God, game's over. It shouldn't have been last night when Soto struck out in the eighth inning in that big spot against Lee. It shouldn't have been, well, game's over. And you knew that it was. Alonso's in a funk. He doesn't do anything, and nobody else beyond McNeil stinks.
Yeah.
Like, the Mets need to, at the very least now, make some moves to raise that floor as opposed to worry about the ceiling, in my opinion.
Yeah, and just to go back to the Acuna thing for a moment, you know, if you have that kind of player on your team, you enjoy it. And I understand that, you know, if you're watching a Yankee game, you know, or obviously a Met perspective with Soto, he's got a lot of bounce and he's got that energy and maybe it offends some people. Not me, but I mean, you got to stop the bleeding. That's why I'm saying that the Mets should be proactive and just at least push back a little bit with Acuna. But say Jazz Chisholm does it. And I like that. I think style and individuality is important in baseball. There's not enough of it. But why would I expect the Mets to hit Acuna for Danson when the Mets never even really had Pete's back when he kept getting drilled all those years?
Yeah, also,
it's not happening.
I don't think that it's a lack of toughness from the Mets. I remember that was with Showalter for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this Mets team has more of each other's back. I would guess that. I think it's more about how can you go out there and drill Acuna when you have Soto who's doing what he's doing,
yep,
and maybe even some others. You know, like you mentioned with the Yankees, can you get on the Yankees if they don't drill somebody when they got Jazz dancing around on bases left and right? Like, it's hard to do that because now you're going to get on their guy for doing it when your guy does the same exact thing.
Yeah, and it's just an era that is gone. And I really don't mean to sound like a caveman because I've really come to accept it. I've come to understand it. I really have. And I think that for too long, baseball was boring. So to let the players, you know, show that flair with the bat flips and the juice, I don't protest it too much. The only reason I say it with Acuna is because now to me it's directly getting in the way of the Mets' ability to get their mojo back. Like, they're lifeless, and this guy's dancing around the bases like Michael Jackson, and the Braves are elevating, and it looks like the Mets are drowning a little bit here. And I would try to end it, but I also know it's 2025 and nobody does.
Daryl calling from Englewood. What's up, Daryl?
Sal and BT.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Long time listener, haven't called in many a year. BT, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to take pictures and talk with me and my daughter on Sunday. I was the guy at the big Mets fan. with the
Mets. At the end. You were hanging around. I remembered that. Yes. And my pleasure, man.
Yes, yeah. Cardinal Hayes graduate,
yes.
Remember?
Yeah, we had to talk, man. Little CHSAA. Yeah. It was good to meet you and your daughter as well. Hey, thanks for coming out, man.
And listen, I had to call Sal. I love you. I'm a big Mets fan. We're going to be okay. Stearns, I believe in. That's all I want to say to you guys. Oh. I believe in Stearns. We're going to be fine. One last thing. Sal and BT, I'm reading a book on the 69 Mets. I went to game 4 in that series. Mike Cuellar pitched 290 and two-thirds innings that year with 18 complete games. Where have we gone?
Yeah.
Well, Daryl, don't hang up, Daryl. Didn't that Orioles team have 4 20-game winners? They had 4 of them, right?
Yeah, McNally.
Palmer, McNally.
Dobson.
And Cuellar.
Yep,
there you go.
And Cuellar.
Wow.
Yeah, but where did we go? Where have we gone?
Well, I mean, you're not going back that far there, Daryl. Thank you for the call. Meaning that there's no way you're going to have any pitchers throw. You're lucky you see a complete game, let alone 18 complete games. So, don't worry about that. We had that conversation the other day as far as the no-hitter goes with Clark Schmidt and being taken out after 102 pitches, whatever it was for him. So that's a whole different story where the sport has gone. Now you just like to get 5 quality innings from somebody, and that's what the Mets need. As far as your trust in Stearns, I'm more with you than against. I do believe in Stearns, and I believe the Mets are going to be fine here. I just need to start seeing some action. You have to evaluate what's happening in front of you as well. It can't just be, okay, well, they did what they did last year, which, by the way, we have both brought up the reality of last year. It was not smooth sailing. The Mets barely made the postseason a year ago. And because they barely made the postseason, that allowed them to go on a postseason run, which they barely stayed alive in the wild card round with Pete Alonso. They should have lost that game. 99 out of 100, they probably lose that game. Kept their season alive, Alonso, one of the great home runs in the history of the sport, let alone Mets history. Then they beat the Phillies, lose to the Dodgers, and it's looked at as this great season, which it was, but they barely made the postseason. That's Stearns year one. Now year two, started out well. They've lost 9 of 10. They've gotten punked by the Braves in the process. The pitching's fallen apart, and the lineup looks like it's majority of minor leaguers. That's also David Stearns. So is Wonder Boy going to make a move here or what?
Maybe
Boy Wonder.
First little shot at Stearns and Wonder Boy.
Hey, I'm one of those who said, hey, you know what? David, I was wrong. You're right. You're a boy genius to starting pitching, all this stuff. All right, well, figure it out. My team's didn't lose 9-10.
Yeah.
Your team did. So I do trust in BT, but he's got to prove it here.
It's interesting when you go back to the Pete Alonso home run, and it doesn't, you know, you can't do this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Like, just this alternate universe, say if he pops up and it's game over instead of going deep.
Yeah.
And the Mets lose and their season ends there. Would you feel, I think that you would, but would you feel different about this current losing streak? Because they went and they beat the Phillies in the playoffs last year and played well and exercised some other demons. I feel like it's given Met fans, I'm not saying that this is even wrong, but it's given them a little more tolerance or belief that what we're seeing the last 10 days is not as real as maybe it could be. And if their season ended 3 weeks before it did a year ago, how would you be viewing this stumble right now?
Yeah, well, I view it the same way myself. I think the majority of people would probably be going more crazy at this particular point.
That's what I think.
Yeah, because they had not built up enough equity to trust them. If you actually break it down and look at it, they have not had sustained success. They're in the infancy stages of the best period, what I believe is the best period in the history of the New York Mets franchise. I really believe that. With Cohen, with Stearns, with Soto here, I believe we are seeing the best period, or entering the best period of Mets baseball in the history of their existence. However, they have to prove it. They've had 1 year in which they barely made the postseason and went on a great run. This is year two. And right now, the wheels have fallen off. I mentioned this. I don't know if I mentioned this on the Saturday show at Fanatics Fest by myself or yesterday, but I'll bring it up again. In 2006, which is to me the best Mets team that I have seen since 86, and this current team was compared to that coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the lineup comparisons.
That lineup was better.
Okay, well, at the time, well, certainly proven that now, but at the time coming into the year, there was an argument to be made for this team, whatever, that team. But either way, this is the best team coming into a year that the Mets have had since 2006. In 2006, they got swept once that year. And I always remember, because I was talking about this with Jose Reyes on SNY the other day, they got swept once. So after they got swept by the Rays, okay, it happens. Every good team gets swept. That was it. This team proceeded to get swept the next series by the Braves, lost 2 of 3 to the Phillies, and now lost the first. They've lost 9 of 10. So think about where you were at with 2006 and thinking how good that team was. They had a little hiccup, and then they moved on and ran roughshod over the National League East that year.
Mm-hmm.
This team is not doing that. So they have a long way to go before they prove themselves as a top team in the National League.
Well, listen, and this goes back to one thing that you said. Now, it doesn't hit me the way it hits you because it's my team, and obviously we've got to personalize things here. But the Yankee fan right now, just to contrast it, right, is frustrated, annoyed. Come on, 11 strikeouts against the Reds, 1 run after Judge goes deep. What's going on? I've been playing great. But there's no real panic and fear. There's maybe some disgust with the repetition of the same issues continuously popping up year after year. And that's why I always go back to Cashman more so than Aaron Boone. But this is the one advantage to being a Yankee fan right now is that it might be fool's gold because if you don't win the World Series, you didn't do anything. But the inner inherent belief, we'll figure things out. It's not arrogance. It's just a reassurance based on years of winning. Whereas not all, but some Met fans feeling a little, that collar is a little tighter around their neck today, even if it shouldn't necessarily be as tight for some as it is, because they did play really well for 2 months.
Steph is calling from Baldwin. What's up, Steph? Steph, you there? Maybe I'll slow down. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Steph. What's on your mind?
What's going on, man?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up, Steph?
What's going on, man? Good show, guys. Sal, I just have a little issue with you, man.
Mm-hmm.
You just said the Mets have one thing and that Soto is great. What metrics can you point?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Points to that show that Soto's great.
He is. I mean, what metric do you want me to use? The fact that he's a World Series champion? The fact that he's been...
No, we talking about this year. You said for the Mets.
Yeah, look at his numbers. Look at his numbers in June. No, I said he's great. That's what I said.
Oh, so you talking about overall?
I'm talking about Juan Soto being great. What's so hard to comprehend? I mean, what are you getting here? That's one of the easier conversations we've ever had. Do you disagree with that?
No. I thought you was talking about Juan Soto was great this year. Because you talk very negative about Pete Alonso, right?
Oh, I said Pete Alonso. Okay, let's just get on the same page, Steph, because I'm not sure you can comprehend what I've been saying here. The last 10 games, do you know the Mets' record in those 10 games?
9-1.
No.
1-9.
Correct.
1-9.
Okay, do you know Pete Alonso's numbers? And baby steps. It's okay, Steph. We'll get there. Do you know Pete Alonso's numbers?
No problem.
Do you know Pete Alonso's numbers in those 10 games?
I don't.
Okay, I'll give them to you. 16 strikeouts, 2 extra base hits, 1 RBI.
Okay, so now I have one question for you.
Yes.
Overall, who's having a better season up till this point?
Pete.
Alonso
Pete.
Or Soto?
Alonso had a better April and a better May. Juan Soto was having a monstrous June.
Correct. But you, same way Pete was smashing in the beginning of the season, you wasn't talking so negative about Juan Soto in the beginning of the season like you're doing Pete.
It's not accurate. And there's proof on social media.
Accurate.
No, it's not. I was the first one in this town to criticize Juan Soto. Go check it out. Get your facts straight and then give us a call back, Steph. I mean, come on, guys. Give me a break. So now I'm an apologist for Juan Soto. Right. Sal rips Pete Alonso but doesn't question Juan Soto. I mean, you got to have your facts straight before you call up. You're trying to minimize the greatness of Juan Soto, number one. Number two, you're saying I criticize Alonso over a 10-game stretch, which he's been god-awful, but I don't criticize Soto. But then when I do criticize Soto a couple months ago before anybody else, I'm the bad guy for being negative about Juan Soto.
No, but here's what he's saying, and the court's going to need a one-word answer here, Mr. Licata, if you can indulge the jury here.
Yeah.
In totality, who has had the better season so far, Alonso or Soto?
So far?
From opening day to last night.
It's hard for me to answer because Soto's a far, far, far better player.
Understood. But that's why we frame it thus far.
And when you project forward, Like what Soto's done in June is to me more legit than anything Alonso did in April.
Understood, but we're not asking that here in the court. We just need a simple answer here, Mr. Licata, please, if you can do this for us.
You got the numbers in front of you?
I got them all. Okay. Who has had the better season?
What's Alonso's OPS on
Alonso the year? Alonso is 929 and Soto is 878. That would be advantage, Mr. Alonso.
Yeah, yeah. Barely.
Understood. RBIs, 64 RBIs for Pete.
Yeah.
43 for Soto. Yeah. Advantage, Pete. Home runs, 18 to 17. Oh. Soto's catching fire. Still advantage, Pete. Runs, advantage, Soto. Hits, advantage, Pete by 14. Doubles, advantage, Pete. And war, to be fair, Soto's got a slightly higher war. It surprises me a bit, just based on the way Pete started. 3.2 to 2.7.
Pete's had the best. What's the OPS plus?
I don't have that in front of me. I'm on a different website. Yeah, I would think that it's slightly higher for Pete, but whatever.
Don't count defense?
I mean, if you want to. I don't really think. Well, I mean, it's not like Pete's you know, Dave Winfield. I mean, Alonzo's Dave Winfield out there.
164 for Pete, and what is it for Soto?
Yeah, and then 152 for Soto.
Yeah, so advantage OPS plus Pete. Here's the bottom line. Pete's had the better season. The problem is that the last couple of seasons that Pete has had, or that Pete's had, it's got to strip away the confidence that what we saw from Pete the first couple of years, months of the season, is real and sustainable. Conversely, with Soto, he obviously does these things more than Pete, so this flurry from Soto is much more believable and much more sustainable. But so far, statistically, Pete's had the better season.
Yeah, well, statistically.
That's all I'm saying.
Statistically, maybe by a little. He's also had two good months. Soto's had one good month. Or you want to say one great month, and Alonso had one great month. Like, Soto's just getting warm here. And also, I would venture to guess, and I don't know this to be factual, do you think Soto, even with his bad start, has ever had a 10-game stretch where he's had two extra base hits and struck out 16 times?
Thought about ever this year.
No, with the Mets. I mean, maybe ever.
I feel like he had one, maybe not the
16 not the
16 strikeouts, but Juan Soto, you know what? Just for some giggles, I'm going to pull up the game log real quick here.
I don't get why everybody's going to make it like about Pete versus Soto.
No. I just think that.
No, but multiple people have done that.
Well, yeah. I mean, whatever. But I'm just saying that Pete, I'm worried about Pete moving forward now a little bit, but it's indisputable. Like, Pete has been real, outside of the last few games, Pete's had a great season so far. All right, so Soto, you know, strikeouts. Yeah, I mean, he's never going to strike. Oh, hold on. So he had one little stretch here where it was, this is in consecutive games, one strikeout, then 2-2-1. Yeah, I can't find it. A quick cursory look here. There's too much to dig through. But the bottom line is,
I get the point.
I'm just sticking up for Pete a little bit. But I absolutely do get the point. Who am I going to bet on to have a better, you know, final 75, 80 games? The answer is Soto.
And by the way, it's not knocking Pete. What I'm saying is, over the last 10 games where the Mets are 1-9 and they've desperately needed him, he's been putrid. That's indisputable, as a matter of fact. It's not my opinion. Like, my opinion is that Juan Soto is far greater than Pete Alonso, and even that you could argue is fact, but my opinion is Juan Soto's going to have a better year than Pete Alonso. That's not the point of the conversation. The point is the Mets are 1-9 in their last 10 games in an important stretch. Pete Alonso's been putrid, and you're making it about Juan Soto, who's been out of this world from June on? Come on. Pete's had a very good year.
See, the difference is when Soto was scuffling, the Mets were still winning. When Pete's hit the skids, the Mets are losing.
Correct.
I think that's the primary point.
Yes. It's not trying to knock Pete. Mets fans are so sensitive to Pete. And then say, oh, you don't criticize Soto. Go look it up. I do criticize Soto. I did. And I love the guy, and I criticize him. And I got flagged for that. Oh, you criticize Soto. Shut up. I can't take it. God, the knuckle, the stupidity on social media never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah, that's the one we just heard, Cher. Do you believe in love?
Yes. That's a rough one. Come on, man.
I like Cher. It's the other ones. I like Mary J. too.
But I'm not saying I don't like Cher, but that song's going to get you pumped up to come into an inning and pitch?
For Reed Garrett? Yeah. He did great.
Man. That song is horrible.
Well, like, he shut it down. He did great.
What? I'm just thinking, and not to attach a gender to it, but like the songs that pump me up, or from guys. Like you,
that is directly attaching injection.
No, no, I'm just saying.
So there's plenty of Nicki Minaj songs.
That's why I prepped. Yeah. I don't mean it like that. It's just like if I'm walking out to a mountain, I want to hear AC/DC. I want to hear Guns N' Roses. You know me.
No, I know.
You know my musical taste at this point.
All right.
If I had to pick to fit Woman's Night,
I'm sure there's some that you can find.
I'm not saying there's not. I'm trying to like go through the prod. Let's find what we would go with. Yeah. Come on, let's do it. What would you do?
Like Nicki Minaj comes to mind.
But which one?
I got plenty of them.
My milkshake. Salt and pepper.
No, that's milkshake. Salt and pepper's not bad.
There you go. Salt and pepper here.
By the way, Cher. Like if I'm gonna go with a Cher song, I'd go with "I Got You, Babe." That is that's even more of like a crowd pleaser than Cher. Do you believe in what is it?
Do you believe in love?
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, it's a little corny. That's a little amazing. At least if I could turn back time. That's a good video on the ship, but I think the Navy ship. I might, definitely not Madonna. I'm just thinking of female.
Madonna's got some good ones.
Yeah.
The Nicki Minaj ones, I have to make sure I clear it, because it's probably not clean, some of them.
Yeah, maybe a little Heart. Old school rock. Heart was awesome. Stevie Nicks. There you go. Thank you, Dolph. Dolph's awake.
Give me Nicki Minaj, Megatron, I think is the name of the song.
Go through this right now?
Give
me Stand Back by Stevie Nicks. I'm going to go.
How about something from Hole?
Or one of the Grease songs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to say.
That always works for me.
Yeah, Stevie Nicks. I just learned that.
that she was a woman.
Yeah.
And Lindsey Buckingham. Lindsey Buckingham is the guitarist, and it's a he.
And they were together and all that. We went through this already. Yes.
Lindsey Buckingham is a member of Stevie Nicks.
He's a member of Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac, the band.
And he is the guitarist.
Okay. I'm confused.
Before Stevie branched out on her own, I believe in 83 or so.
Hey, to each their own.
Were Stevie and Lindsey a couple ever or no?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right.
Did an album together, actually.
What?
Did an album just those two together with Fleetwood Mac.
Okay. Dude, but though, maybe you should work at a music station. The only time you wake up is when we talk music. Yankees, Mets, Knicks, he's snoozing. The music, here comes Doe from the top rope.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Jeff Passan released an article here. Ranking MLB's top 50 trade deadline candidates.
Ooh, all right, timely. What do we got?
Number one, Alex Bregman. Now
no way. I think they're going to re-sign him, actually.
Yeah, okay, so he says chance of trade 10%. So now the reason why I bring him up, first of all, he's number one.
Yep.
But they're the two clubs that are tied to him, both Mets and the Yankees. Chicago, Detroit, Yankees, and Mets.
Well, the Yankees, there was a thought that never really serious from them, but kind of
permeated.
Yeah, I know you did. Kind of permeating around the business, you know, just based on needs and who was available. Bregman to the Yankees was some noise over the winter.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got? Well,
and by the way, at the time, I was like, he's not a fit for the Mets. They have a gluttony of guys. Well, now he's a fit for the Mets all of a sudden.
Yep.
Duran is on there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the one. Alcantara is on there.
There you go.
Now, he doesn't have, and again, what does it mean? I don't know. But he doesn't have the Mets and Yankees listed for either of these guys. Not even for Duran is the Mets. Alcantara, nobody. I'm going to give you the ones that I see with the Mets and Yankees involved.
Mm-hmm.
Eugenio Suarez, the third baseman for the Diamondbacks.
A lot of home runs, having a good year. Yeah, 50, for sure.
50% chance, according to Passan, that he gets traded. He has the Yankees as a best fit on his list.
Now, by the way, side note there, Corbin Carroll got really hurt, and he, what were you telling me, 3 months to maybe 6 months for his hand?
It says 3 to 12 weeks, but it's a very weird injury where the full recovery time could be up to a year.
And you also said if it's the sheath, which is what Teixeira, what Teixeira had, it could be worse. So, you know, does that impact what the Diamondbacks maybe do with the deadline? Okay, I'm interested in him. I've always been interested in him.
For Suarez, he's got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams that are best fits. Yankees, one of them.
Do you have the stats in front of you or no? No, he's got a lot of home runs.
I do not.
Okay.
I've seen his power this year, too. I don't have his stats in front of him.
Okay.
All right. You want any pitchers as long as it has Mets and Yanks involved?
I'm not seeing any pitchers here.
We're down to number 10, 11, Ozuna. There's some big pitchers, relief pitchers here. Still, Mets and Yankees not tied to him. Duran from the Twins, Class A, not Mets and Yankees here. Cedric Mullins is the next one up at 15.
For the Mets?
He's got two teams. 70% chance of a trade.
Yeah.
Three teams, best fit. Philadelphia, Cleveland, and the Mets.
I think there is 0.0% chance that he's not traded. They're horrendous.
Right.
He's a free agent. They're not going to re-sign him. He will be shipped out.
30-year-old center fielder in a contract year who contributes in a number of ways. Power numbers are trending up this season.
Yeah, they are, actually. He's got some home runs again.
So, that's a move to me. I don't know why Stearns is not making that move yesterday.
You know, it doesn't mean he's not in the game.
That's not a huge move. Just go get Cedric. No, no, I'm not saying he's not, but like,
Yeah, do it now.
Whoa, dude, they're dying here.
Yeah, but if you do it when you've lost 9 of 10, you're not dealing with any leverage. Like, you want to kind of strike a deal when you're at least not drowning. Like, you have a little power. Otherwise, you're going to get, you know, you're going to get bent over in the boardroom.
Understood. Here's one for you. Ryan McMahon. Yankees.
I was interested in him.
Last year, was that last year?
Yeah, I loved him. I don't know if he's, what is he, in 210, 215?
No, he's actually caught fire since we talked about how terrible he's been.
What's he hitting?
I'll go take a look now.
Can't be more than 230.
Well, he's batting 222 overall, but I mean, I'll tell you how his streak has been on outrageous.
He could pick it. He's got pop. He's a lefty. Who knows how rejuvenated he might be playing in, you know, a ballpark with energy, even though that's a nice field, but like real, you know, real juice. You know, that's the thing, too. And I know that nobody wants to hear this, but when you play for a bad team and there's, here we are, and you're already, I don't know, 30 games out, whatever the heck they are, you should be self-motivated. But I think it's easier said than done. You go to the ballpark, you got no chance to win.
Yeah, you would think that you're on a team that has a chance to win. You'd be, there'd be an uptick there.
Hold on, 60%. Real quick, Sal, he's got the numbers.
So, again, he was batting 201 in the beginning of the month.
Okay.
He's up to 222. Okay, woo! Great. But in the past 16 games, he's batting 298, OPS over 1. 1.042, 6 home runs, 3 doubles.
What's his strikeout?
23 strikeouts, yeah, in 16 games.
How many on the season?
95.
All right, so he's going to strike out 200 times. That's a massive problem.
It's the same. Yeah, exactly. They don't need another guy like that.
Now, he would be a more consistent power source and a better glove at third base. Like, and then you could put Jazz in second, which is his true position. I was more moved by that a year ago. I'm somewhat receptive to it this year.
We'll do two more, and then we'll just for the first 20, and then we'll do another. We'll get some calls in and do another next segment. Number 18 on the list, Aroldis Chapman. Mets, Phillies, Tigers, best fits.
Listen, he still throws cheese, man. He's still a hulking, intimidating presence.
Take him in a second.
Yeah, you should. I was going to say you should.
Class A was on there, but he did not have the Mets or Yanks. Huh?
See, here's, can I just throw something out there for the Mets?
Spirit. Yeah.
I just want to, okay. Yeah.
Broke his soul.
Hold on. No, he's coming back to Earth.
Yeah,
let me explain something to you, right? Okay. So, Devin Williams is going to be a free agent next year.
Correct.
Edwin Diaz can opt out. If the Mets convince Edwin Diaz not to opt out, sign Emmanuel Class A or trade for Emmanuel Class A and then sign Devin Williams, that bullpen will be untouchable between those three.
That's great. And they still would have lost last night 3-2.
Yes.
all right, last one. Luis Robert Jr. is on there.
Yeah.
Dude.
What number is he?
He's number 19 here. 90% chance that he gets traded. Padres, Phillies, Guardians, Mets, Giants. Mm. Robert, extremely unlucky, blah, 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 blah. I was going to use a hand gesture, but I realized we're on Twitch. So that could turn around at any point. He remains a strong defender and base runner. Dude, his slash line, 185.
That's what he's hitting.
267, goodness 305. Gracious.
What's his OPS, 590, 600?
185, 267, well, 305 is his slash line.
267, 305, God, he's below. He's below 600. OPS.
He has a pair of $20 million a year club options that the acquiring team would be hesitant to exercise.
Oh, that's a big hindrance right there.
Dude, come on. I want no part of Luis Robert Jr. 2 years ago, maybe?
Yes, 2 years ago, appealing.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Ralph is in Yonkers. What's up, Ralph?
Ralphie!
Hey, guys. Sal, you're just frustrating. I just have a few points, but before I ask, let me ask the question that I heard of or thought of when I was on hold. When was the game over yesterday? Was it, in your opinion, was it before the eighth, before Soto's at bat, or after Soto's at bat, you knew they were not going to score a run in the ninth?
Yes.
Did you indicate the game was over?
Yes. Okay. After Soto struck out, I felt like the game was over.
Gotcha.
Did you?
Knew the game was, okay. Well, the words you used was you knew the game was over.
Yeah, okay.
It felt like it.
I
knew
felt the
were
same way, by
things.
The way.
But anyway.
I don't understand what the issue with that is, Ralph. Help me. Educate me. Why?
Well, it's just hard to believe that somebody was watching baseball as long as you have. But, you know, don't think the Mets could possibly score an inning in the ninth, run in the ninth inning. That's all. That's my only issue.
But
I just want to go on to a couple other things, then I'll hang up and you can comment on what I say. You commented that somebody who's frustrated with Soto earlier was idiotic for being frustrated with Soto. I mean, come on, Sal. You have some understanding. Let me just tell you three things that
Are you frustrated idiotic. With Soto, Ralph? Because you're going down that path, too, which I don't understand. Do you know his numbers in June?
Yeah, and just the fact that you can't answer BT's question, you still haven't answered it. Who's having a better season?
Who's a better baseball player, Soto or Alonso?
Why don't you just answer the question?
Okay, can you answer the question?
Is it so hard for you?
Ralph, can you answer the question? Who's better, Soto or Alonso?
Okay, very good. I'll answer it, Soto. Just a couple other
points. Thank you. Now we can move on. Jesus. It's not that hard.
Just a couple other reasons why it's frustrating to listen to you is you give up, you consistently, year after year, give up on teams too early, you turn off an NBA playoff game, and you go to a game possibly where Soto can have a signature moment with the Mets. Late in the game against the Yankees, you can have a signature moment. And the sports show host was there. Oh, I'm sorry, he wasn't there. He was in his car because he left. I mean, you just frustrate the hell out of me.
Ralph, you seem like you got an issue with me, and thanks for the call. Here's what I would say to you. Get lost. And do you know what I was doing in the car? Going to watch the Knicks second half of that game. I mean, Ralph, what are you worried about what I'm doing for? Why don't you just call and make your sports point? The reason you can't do this is because you don't have a good one. You just admitted yourself. You're getting mad at me because I'm defending Juan Soto versus Pete Alonso, and yet you just answered the same thing. Good God. And obviously when I say knew the game was over, it's my feeling that I believe the game was over. Nobody knows anything. What am I? You want me to predict the future now too? Is that going to make you happy? Good God.
I knew it was over.
Thank you, BT.
I knew it was over.
Well, so did I, but apparently Ralph didn't. He didn't know. So, Ralph, next time you should just listen to us. We're helping you. We knew the game was over once Soto went down. Do you know why? Because we didn't believe that Pete Alonso, who's mired in a major funk over the last 10 games, or anybody else behind him, would come through in that spot. It's really not that difficult to comprehend. I don't understand how you didn't get that either.
Oh, man. But it did take you a while to answer the Alonso Soto question.
I'm not giving into that.
Who's that? Well, you have to, because the numbers are irrefutable. Don't pull me into this now. Who's having a better season so far?
Here's why.
Having a better season, Pete or Soto, from opening day till now? I still need the answer for the court.
I'm taking Juan Soto's season. I'm taking Juan Soto's season because his lows aren't as low as Alonso, and his highs are legit. Where Alonso's are not.
Well, Pete was hitting .370 for the first month of the season.
Yeah, okay.
Pete's highs were pretty freaking high.
That's my point. And is that sustainable? No, it's not.
No.
Is it realistic? Is it legit or is it an aberration?
No, I
don't understand why people are making this about Alonso versus Soto. It's not that. I don't understand it. I'm just looking something up.
Hold on. Pete was, what was his high water mark? Because Judge was about, you know, 402. Wasn't Pete like, did Pete ever hit 290 or like, or 390, or is it 360, Huff? Do you remember more?
What, early on?
Like very early. Hold
he
on,
was closer to 350-ish yeah, for a while.
What was his high water check. Mark? Hold on, I got it now. 356. That may have been the highest. 345, 347. I mean, Pete was still batting, to be fair, and he's been awful the last couple of games, but to be fair to Pete completely, I mean, you're talking about past the Kentucky Derby, he was batting 345.
Yeah.
And now it's obviously tailed off here. And, you know, what is he at now? 286? Here's the question, and I think this one's a pretty easy answer. Does he see 290 again the rest of the year? I mean, unless he goes 3-for-4 tonight, I would bet that there's a higher probability that he does not than that he does.
What's Pete's best attribute?
It's just his power. It's his only attribute is his power.
How many home runs do you have?
What does he got, 17, 16, something like that?
How many home runs Soto have?
Yeah, but see, that's select. That doesn't do anything for me. Because the statistical evidence say at least Pete's had a better season than Soto.
Pete's best attribute is his power. Soto, who had 2 months of a slow start.
Yep.
Still has as many. He's got one homer less.
I got, but Sal, he's also 40 points behind him in the batting average, and about 70-80 percentage points below in the OPS department. Still,
yeah.
Now that's gonna. We both know that's gonna change. Nobody's arguing about that. But Pete Alonso has up until he's been I didn't think that he could do this in his dreams. Right. I didn't think that he had this level of, even for like 2 weeks, let alone basically 2 months. So I'm going to give Pete his props, but I'm also going to say that that's probably the end of the road in terms of him being a dominant superstar force. Now you just got to hope that he doesn't revert back to what he was. You know, the 215, the 218, the strikeout machine. Right now, he's treading there. And that's, listen, Soto's not going to be a problem. Soto's going to be an asset this year. Soto's going to be much more of an answer than a problem. I don't know what the fate for Pete is the rest of the year. And I say that with all due respect. Is he going to be more the answer or more the problem? I don't know.
But I thought were interesting that we should bring up, according to Jeff Passan, ESPN, top 50 players possibly traded or trade candidates ahead of the trade deadline. Nolan Arenado, now obviously he's a name that came up many, many times throughout the course of the offseason. 30% chance of trade, according to Passan. Best fits, Tigers, Brewers, Mariners, and the Yankees.
Got to be, any third baseman's got to be on any list about potential destinations. Like, the Yankees have to be on that list here.
Yeah, I don't think that the Yanks are going to go down that road. They had no interest in the offseason. Why would I think that they'd be interested now?
Mm-hmm.
Things wouldn't change as far as that goes. So I get the idea. He's a big name. The Yankees need a third baseman.
He's a great fielder.
Yep.
Let's see.
Look, he's an upgrade over LeMahieu.
He is. You know, again, I'm just looking at his stats. I haven't really kept tabs on him. Great.
Last one here. Arenado is around a career best in a strikeout rate, which is good.
Okay. He's got 10 homers, 40 ribbies, OPS, basically where it's been the last couple of years, 720, that's kind of low. You get him in a better lineup, whatever. It's going to come down to the contract, how much the Cardinals are willing to eat. And let's see, the contract, just to refamiliarize ourselves with it, he's making $32 million this year. So you split that in half, you got 16 left just to do it even. Next year, he is due 27, five of which is paid by the Rockies. So that's suddenly down to 22. And then the 2020, yeah, I remember this. And then they added a prior year, a couple of years back. So there's a $15 million tag in 2027. So it's two full years. And then it's 16 this year. It's doable. I mean, if you're serious and that's all you could really do and you don't think that there's other options, he's going to be traded, would think.
What's his average, batting average? You have that up?
Yeah.
Again, not that that's the barometer, but for me in this particular case, with his strikeout rate being good and his power numbers being down, you might be looking at a ball player who could round out the Yankee lineup nicely if he puts the bat on the ball.
Yeah, I'm looking something up. Where do you think, just without even giving it a ton of thought, where do you think he would plug in? Let's say, hey, we wake up tomorrow, Yankees got Arenado. Where's he hitting? Sixth?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Somewhere in that neighborhood, right?
I was thinking through my head, like, I'd rather go Wells behind Stanton.
Yeah.
But they're going to go Jazz, that's fine. So, yeah, Jazz 5, Arenado 6.
Okay, okay. Now, a couple
of... Wells 7, Volpe 8, right?
That makes sense to me there. Volpe down a slot. So, one thing, and I remember hearing about this when the Yankees were kind of, even though they weren't flirting, but they were connected loosely by a lot of people who covered the sport. So, I'm looking at his spray chart, right? And... he does not have a single... this is actually wild, Sal. Look at this here. He does not have a single extra base hit from beyond left center field, meaning no doubles, no triples, no home runs to center field, to right center, and to right field. Now, where's power play in the stadium?
Yeah, I know. Right
center, even for righties. His 10 home runs, all are basically down the line. And... yeah, I'm just trying to look at some numbers that I think might be interesting to me. You're right. His K rate's phenomenal. 10.4% puts the bat on the ball.
Which is what the Yankees need. And what's he hitting? You give me a batting average?
Did I lose that? 251.
Okay. All right.
You know, again, and something else that might jump out here, whiff rate. Yeah, I mean, his whiff rate's phenomenal. And his walk rate is middle of the pack, and his fielding is still in the 88th percentile. So he's an elite fielder still.
251 is as good as anybody not named Aaron Judge or Paul Goldschmidt. Like, Belly's at 261. So the fact that he doesn't strike out a ton, plays Gold Glove third base still.
Yeah, it would fit. He would fit in nice. I think he's a good clubhouse guy. You know, like a motivated, well-conditioned athlete who knows how to get ready for a game. And I think he'd bring that Goldschmidt mentality. Plus, they played with each other. I mean, again, I liked it during the offseason, so I still like it now, especially watching what I see play third base every night for the Yankees.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.